And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
I am kind of hoping the Lutheran Church never copies this sort of thing, but it seems that the Church of England is throwing open its doors to players of the online game Pokemon Go by making some of its churches Pokestops. The augmented reality game, which is attracting millions of new players, involves finding virtual Pokemon characters in different real locations. Several churches have now signed up to become a Pokestop for people to visit. The church has said that the game was a good way to start a conversation that may lead on to other things. It has issued guidance to churches around the country, encouraging them to attract players into their local churches. The game, launched in the UK last Thursday, has proven popular with people around the world. Church locations which have been registered on the game as Pokestops include St Stephen's in Rednall, Birmingham, Hope Church in Islington, North London, and St Mary's Episcopal Cathedral in Glasgow. A Pokestop is a location where players have to visit to get certain items they need to play the game. The church's digital media officer, Tally Proud, issued guidance to churches on Thursday. In it, she said, Pokemon Go is therefore giving churches around the country a great opportunity to meet people from the area who might not normally come to church. You might also spot people standing outside the church on their phones who may be playing the game and at your Pokestop. Church communities have been encouraged to place welcome signs outside, hold so-called poke parties for players. One is planned for Christ Church in Stone, Staffordshire on Friday evening. One Pokemon player, Matthew Newbold, 22, from Peterborough, tweeted, Pokemon Go makes me such a better person. Had a charity coffee on my hunt for Pokemon at the church. However, the church also warned of the potential danger to young people playing the game. Whilst we would encourage churches to engage with those playing the game, be they adults or children, we also understand that the concerns that the NSPCC have raised with regards to keeping children safe. Our first priority as a church should be to provide a safe place for children and vulnerable adults with regards to Pokemon Go, said its guidance. Earlier this week, City Road Methodist Church in Birmingham signed up to become one of the real-life locations used as gyms in Pokemon Go, where users can train virtual monsters. It has put up a sign saying, Jesus cares about Pokemon gamers. Personally, I can imagine Jesus slapping his hand on his forehead and sighing rather loudly. Zimbabwe's president attacked the pastor who organised a nationwide strike against the government, saying he should move to another country if he's unhappy with conditions at home. It was the first time President Robert Mugabe had mentioned Evan Mowari publicly by name. Mowari last week was briefly arrested and charged with subverting a constitutionally elected government before being freed by a court in the capital, Harare. Hundreds of cheering supporters greeted his release. His calls on social media for a boycott earlier this month drew a strong response for people frustrated by Zimbabwe's deepening economic problems. Mugabe accused the 39-year-old of inciting violence and he questioned Mowari's religious credentials. So, beware these men of cloth, not all of them are true preachers of the Bible. I don't know whether they are serving God, they spell God in reverse, the president said. Mugabe was speaking at the burial of the former British colony's first black chief secretary to the cabinet and president. The 92-year-old president has accused Western countries of sponsoring the recent anti-government protest. He urged Mowari and his followers to relocate to one of them. The Mowaris and those who believe in that way of living in our country, well, they are not part of us in thinking. They are not part of us as we try to live together, Mugabe said, to applause from supporters. If they don't like to live with us, let them go to those who are sponsoring them. To the countries of those who are sponsoring them, fine. Mowari left the country last week, but has denied reports he fled to seek asylum elsewhere. Evan Mowari, a Baptist, told the BBC people should stay at home as part of a campaign against corruption, economic mismanagement and unemployment. He said the campaign was serious about wanting change. His lawyers successfully argued that the charge of subversion had been added at the last minute, denying him a fair trial. The pastor has been at the heart of a social media campaign denouncing the government's management of the economy. He said the hashtag This Flag movement's goal was to get as many citizens as possible involved in nation building. Pope Francis is leading a determined push to fundamentally alter the relationship between the Vatican and China, which for decades has been infused with mutual suspicion and acrimony. Interviews with some 24 Catholic officials and clergy in Hong Kong, Italy and mainland China, as well as sources with ties to the leadership in Beijing, reveal details of an agreement that would fall short of full diplomatic ties, but would address key issues at the heart of the bitter divide between the Vatican and Beijing. A working group with members from both sides was set up in April and is discussing how to resolve a core disagreement over who has the authority to select and ordain bishops in China, several of the sources have told Reuters. The group is also trying to settle a dispute over 8 bishops who were appointed by Beijing but did not get papal approval, an act of defiance in the eyes of the Vatican. In what would be a dramatic breakthrough, the Pope is preparing to pardon the 8, possibly as early as this summer, paving the way to further détente, says Catholic sources with knowledge of the deliberations. A signal of Francis's deep desire for rapprochement with China came last year in the form of a behind-the-scenes effort by the Vatican to engineer the first ever meeting between the head of the Roman Catholic Church and the leader of the Chinese Communist Party. Aides to the Pope tried to arrange a meeting when both Francis and Chinese President Xi Jinping were in New York in late September to address the United Nations General Assembly. The meeting didn't happen, but the overture didn't go unnoticed in Beijing. While the two sides have said they are discussing the issue of bishops, Catholic sources gave Reuters the most detailed account yet of the negotiations and the secret steps the Vatican has taken to pave the way to a deal. The current talks come more than 6 decades after victorious Communist Party leaders, having vanquished the nationalist forces of Chiang Kai-shek, expelled Vatican envoy Antonio Ribeiro from Beijing in 1951 as they banished missionaries and began a crackdown on organized religion. The Vatican remains the only Western state that does not have diplomatic ties with Beijing, maintaining instead formal relations with the Republic of China, based in Taiwan, which Beijing views as a renegade province. For the Vatican, authoritarian relations with China offers the prospect of easing the plight of Christians on the mainland, who for decades have been persecuted by the authorities. It may also ultimately pave the way to diplomatic relations, giving the Church full access to the world's most populous nation. An unofficial relationship with China would crown a dream that the Catholic Church has cultivated for many centuries to establish a regular presence in China through stable diplomatic ties, says Elisa Junipero, a researcher at the Catholic University of Milan who has studied the history of the Catholic Church in China for 20 years. For China, improved relations could burnish its international image and soften criticism of its human rights record. It would also be an important step in prizing the Vatican away from Taiwan, handing China an important diplomatic victory in its efforts to isolate the self-governing island. Spokespeople for the two sides acknowledged the talks are continuing, but declined to answer detailed questions about them. Cave art, recently discovered on the island of Mona in the Puerto Rican archipelago, sheds light on the intercultural and religious dynamics that took place between local populations and European settlers during the early colonization of the Americas in the 1600s. Mona's caves include the most diverse preserved indigenous iconography in the Caribbean, with thousands of motifs and drawings found. This has allowed archaeologists to gain new insights into the culture that Europeans encountered in their expeditions to the New World in the 16th century. Mona, situated on a key Atlantic route from Europe to the Americas, was at the heart of Spanish colonization at the time, with Christopher Columbus stopping there during his second voyage in 1494. Exploration of Cave 18, one of 200 caves on the island, has revealed that the local population was exposed to European culture, but also explained their own beliefs to the newly arrived settlers. Throughout the 16th century, new cultural and religious identities were forged from these exchanges. As the research team explains in a paper published in the journal Antiquity, markings on the walls of the cave bear witness to this process and show that both communities were communicating and even telling each other about their belief systems. This is some of the earliest evidence of Christianity in the Americas and how the indigenous Taino population experienced it. It shows that locals and Europeans interacted and communicated about their beliefs. It is also a very good insight into the origins of the identities that were shaped in the Americas after the European arrival. It shows the process by which hybrid identities were being built. Author Jago Cooper of the British Museum told IB Times UK. The researchers discovered around 30 historic inscriptions made by Europeans in Cave 18, including names of individuals, phrases in Latin and Spanish, dates, and Christian symbols such as crosses or abbreviations of the name of Christ. But before the arrival of the Europeans and the marking of Christian symbols, indigenous iconography had already been finger-marked all over the walls of the cave. Their iconography is very rich and represents often complex figures with human and animal hybrids, crosses, distinct from the Christian crosses, faces and a lot of meandering lines which are made with their fingers. In contrast, Europeans made their drawings with tools, probably with daggers and other sharp metal objects. What we see is a real communication between two worlds. The indigenous population invited the Europeans into this cave, a very sacred place for them, as they believed that their people originated from a cave and told them about what they believed in. In return, the Europeans drew their own Christian belief system on the walls, Cooper said. And finally, an enraged Australian man phoned police to complain that his father had burned his prized cannabis plants, authorities said. Northern Territory Police said the man called them on Tuesday evening from Humpty Doo, about 25 miles from Darwin, to report he had had a fight with his father. As retribution, his father had burnt his son's prized cannabis plants in a bonfire on the property, Duty Superintendent Louise Jorgensen said in a Facebook post. The son felt that this was wrong and reported the matter to police. Officers attended and confirmed this was indeed the case. Police did not give the ages of the men involved, but said the son had been in conflict with his father since he had moved back in the Northern Territory a short while ago. Things came to a head yesterday evening, and that's when the contraband was destroyed, Jorgensen said. The son was indignant and enraged. It was questioned whether he was aware that possession of cannabis was unlawful and he could be liable to prosecution for the same. He seemed to believe that the destruction of the same was far worse than the possession in the first place. The post sparked lively comments on Facebook, with one person suggesting the police should have brought beers and munchies to the bonfire. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.